Oh, hello everybody, welcome to the Movies on the Brain podcast. As you can tell, I am not Ryan C. Wood, and I'm not used to doing this because I surely forgot that I was starting this, even though you literally just told me. But I am Chad Metz, I am your temporary host for right now, along with my partner, as always,
Ryan C. Wood.
And if you're wondering why I'm starting the show off so awkwardly, well, that's because Brian has some thoughts. I don't know what the thoughts are. I thought it would be better if I don't know. So you can kind of guess where this is going to head with him, but I have no clue. So I'm going to turn the show over to you, and I'm going to step out the way.
So Chad, pull up my Twitter. Okay. There is a photo that I need to reference here. So I would like to formally let Star Wars fans know that the intersection of political theory and entertainment do not mix. There should be a photo of a document that was floated around the internet today, a declaration of rebellion.
With the Star Wars
symbol?
Yes. Oh,
yes.
Boy.
Yes.
So, I haven't seen this.
Yes. So let me enlarge it so that I can read it, because I have been...
Jesus Christ, this is long.
Yeah, this has been on my mind all day since I saw this at 9 a.m. So, a group of Star Wars nerds who are very highly upset. These are probably some of the similar people who are talking about remaking The Last Jedi at $300 billion of GoFundMe money, put out the following statement. Quote, "We, the fans of Star Wars, do this day send forth this declaration to the president of Lucasfilm, Kathleen Kennedy, and to all people in the world to make clear to all the purposes and goals of this rebellion." Yes, sir. Actually calling themselves a rebellion. "We formally acknowledge the importance and necessity of the control of the franchise being in the hands of one person. We accept that for a contiguous, non-contradictory continuity to be established, much of the old must be done away with to make way for the new, so that we can enjoy this universe without questioning how something makes sense. We believe that we believe that those in charge of a franchise derive its power as a creative force from the consent of the fandom of that franchise. We believe that should fans, lifelong fans especially, be purposefully shunned, insulted, and tossed aside by those at the head of the franchise, it is the inalienable right of said fans to boycott or force change in said leadership. We believe that Lucasfilm has willingly and maliciously discarded the fans in the sole pursuit of a misguided political agenda, and therefore it is our inalienable right to refuse to fund the franchise and to call on Disney to change those who are in charge of Lucasfilm. We do not take this course lightly. Franchises long since established should not be changed for slight and transient causes, but when those helming a franchise display a history of callous disrespect for said franchise, its long and storied history, and its massive fan base, displaying a clear design to subjugate totally and absolutely the characters we have come to know and love, solely to push a social narrative, it is our right, nay, our duty, to dispose of that leadership. The short history of the current leadership of Lucasfilm is that of continued grievous offenses and insults against all consumers who have been fans of the franchise for any period of time before it was purchased by Disney. Said offenses hereby include: you have disrespected the characters of the original trilogy, threatening them as mere tools and stepping stones for new characters rather than for the heroes they actually are. You have used your new characters as toys and tools to push an agenda of masculine infertility. You have lied to George Lucas, when you told him that legacy characters would be protected and made sure they would continue to live on in a way that he had created them. You have lied to George Lucas when you said you wanted to do something for the fans, and have now fully reneged upon that promise, telling Mark Hamill that the stories you want to tell matter more than the fans. You have given the core trinity of characters from the original trilogy terrible send-offs. Luke Skywalker dying as a sour old man who couldn't be bothered to come help his sister in person or mourn the loss of his best friend, Han Solo, by dying by the blade of his own son in a movie that ultimately had zero impact on his psychological state moving forwards. Leia flying back to the ship in a comedic scene that reminds one of Mary Poppins and will shamefully forever be how Carrie Fisher's last outing in the film will be remembered by all. You have shamelessly attacked anyone who has voiced a negative opinion, calling them racist, sexist, misogynist, telling them that they must have a problem with strong women, telling them that only overweight white males and members of the alt-right dislike the direction you are taking the franchise. You have refused to acknowledge any complaints as legitimate from the fans, and do not even recognize that people who are not male or are not Caucasian dislike your modus operandi as well. We, the fans of Star Wars, do therefore, in the name and by the authority of the free market of the world, seminally publish and declare our intentions to fight and oppose you and your social political ideals by any and all means at our disposal, to refuse any decree from Lucasfilm as to what we should like at this that is contrary to the right of opinion, to bring about your destruction and the destruction of your career in anything relating to filmography, to forever restore the true characterizations of these beings in a galaxy far, far away. And to these ends, we pledge our merchandise, we pledge our honor, and we pledge our wallets. This has been stated on the internet by someone who had way too much time on their hands and a sincere and honest lack of understanding of Hobbes Leviathan, of Sir Thomas Aquinas' work, of the allegory of the cave, of Plato's Politics, and every other piece of political theory literature that exists in modern creation. The right of the consent of the governed is a very interesting theory that exists in politics. It is the idea put forth mainly by Hobbes and somewhat by Aquinas about the idea that we enter into a social contract and we consent to be governed. We surrender some rights in order to gain others, and we participate willingly in a system of government that, we can freely throw off at any time should they try to subjugate us or become tyrannical in any type of way. The theory has its flaws, obviously. Some of the same rhetoric that the Killmonger used in Black Panther, that, they need to throw off their oppressors and that kind of a thing. The free market and the way that business models work, you cannot throw off your oppressors in this sense. The idea behind what Hobbes was thinking was in terms of literal armed rebellion. Going with pitchforks and torches and musket guns and throwing off your oppressive government the way that our founders did in 1776 when they led an armed rebellion against the King of England, who was heavily taxing them, and threw off that government and created their own, and the people who were here consented to that change. That is nothing like Kathleen Kennedy, Rian Johnson, J.J. Abrams, Lawrence Kasdan sitting in a room talking about a way to make a new Star Wars trilogy. That's not the same thing. You cannot force your will upon Kathleen Kennedy or Rian Johnson or J.J. Abrams as creators. And if you have legitimate complaints about the way that the direction of the whole thing is going, Rey's too powerful, there's no explanation, you know, she's not related to anybody, she can disarm Luke in combat, and, you know, Luke's supposed to be the baddest Jedi in the planet, in the galaxy, and she just disarms him like it's nothing. You have no rules, you have no order, you know, no structure to this. Then you take that up with Rian Johnson, and you take it up with J.J., more specifically with J.J., because they were doing this on the seat of their pants. Kathleen Kennedy did her job. Kathleen Kennedy went to Bob Iger, was like, look, we're stuck. We just fired this guy, Ardnett. We're going to let J.J. and Kasdan write this script. We've got these filming dates in February, but we're not going to make those. So you need to push it back. We need the film to come out in May of 2016. Kathleen, thank you very much for your advice. I got to sell toys. I'll give you to December. And they were like, okay, that if that's as much as we can get, that's as much as we can get, and we will make do with what we have. They had to write on set. Not that that's the biggest crime against humanity, because plenty of people do it all the time. But the reason there's no overarching rules, the reason there's no overarching reason for Rey being as powerful as she is, or explanation for why Luke did this or that, is because there wasn't a clear design. There was no Kevin Feige. Kathleen Kennedy was not sitting there telling J.J. Abrams, no, you can't. She wasn't telling Rian Johnson, no, you can't. She was allowing them creative freedom, which is something that these same nerds yell and scream about when Kevin Feige's doing that to Edgar Wright on the set of Ant-Man. And, you know, in that case, it wasn't even really Feige's fault, because he was following the orders of the creative team and that were fanned out across the country sending emails. You cannot use political ideology and political theory in this instance against a free enterprise, free market business. The only power you have is your purchasing power, which has a multiplier of one. Even if you agree, if you get 5 million people to sign up for this rebellion and consent to not spend a dime on Star Wars merchandise or tickets or anything, that is still a vast drop in the bucket considering all of the other people who are going to freely consent to this creative endeavor. Kathleen Kennedy did not wrong you. Kathleen Kennedy did not oppress you. She did not take away your gun. She did not take away your right to vote. She did not take away your right to free speech. She did not take away any of that. All she did was fund a guy who made a movie that you don't like. So guess what? Don't go. You're the same idiots who went out and bought the special editions every time George made changes and put them out on DVD. Guess what? Here's a brilliant idea. Oh, I don't know. Try not buying the Blu-ray for Last Jedi. And even if you do that and your five friends down the street who are all meeting in your mom's basement do it, it's not going to make a difference to Kathleen Kennedy and Walt and Bonavista Entertainment and Rian Johnson and Rose Tan and Daisy Ridley and anybody else. Like, no. This is a wrap. Your logic is flawed. Your writing is terrible. Like, no. Like, this is like deciding I want to go remake The Last Jedi and I'm going to crowdfund $300 million to do it. Even if Downey comes down and writes you a check for $300 million, here you go. I will personally back this. You have no clue how to amass an army of people, which is what it takes on a small budget, $50, $60 million movie. On a $300 million movie, there are people at Pinewood who do not sleep because they are constantly building props. There are makeup artists. There are cinematographers. There are There are cameramen. There are, you know, all kinds of craftspeople and technical people and security personnel and even down to the catering. It's a huge undertaking to produce one of these movies and shoot for 4 months. That's why we make comments about how hard it is to reshoot a movie in 4 months. The fact that you nerds believe that you can do it with no expertise and no history. And by the way, again, Hobbes's theory asserts that everybody consents to be governed. You're asserting that everybody feels the way that you feel and everybody wants to throw off their oppressor. You're a very small minority of people. You are not going to be able to throw your oppressors off if only the people who believe the way that you believe are going to be with you. So, at the end of the day, this was an exercise that it goes right along with the funding of the movie, and you gotta put it away. You gotta put it away, because otherwise you're never gonna be happy, you're never gonna get married, you're never gonna have kids, and you'll never, ever, ever, ever be able to get out of your parents' basement. So let's leave Hobbes Leviathan where it belongs, in classrooms, being taught, in academic study, where we can have debates about the relevancy of it to today's time. We can talk about St. Thomas Aquinas, we can talk about Plato and Aristotle and the allegory of the cave and the politics in a classroom where it belongs. Do not drag those principles into a debate about free enterprise. I am done.
The only thing I'm going to add is that, you know, you made the allusions to, you know, letting this go so you can progress as an adult and, like, have a functional life, which would include wife, children, blah, blah, blah. I got good money to put on this. That whoever wrote this is older than me. I'm going to be 37 this year. And if they're older than me, I think everything you just said still stands. So that means they have no wife, they have no children, and they still live in their mom's basement. So the likelihood that they're ever going to get any of those things is pretty much out the window. Because these are the guys. These are, like, I bet most of these guys are original Star Wars guys, which means they're probably pushing 50. And they're doing this. It's over.
What do you think of this document, Chad?
Because there's so much there, I had a whole bunch of thoughts while you were saying stuff. Most of which we've said before when we talked about these angry nerds, but it just like who are you? Why do you think you have this right? It's a movie. You don't like it, you don't go. I understand that it's this mythic part of your childhood that you can't stand to get corrupted. I understand that. I have those things too. I love the Ninja Turtles. But more specifically for me, there's a very certain set of Ninja Turtles I like. I like the Ninja Turtles from the very first movie. That is my box I live in for Ninja Turtles. Anytime we get new turtles and they move outside of that box, I don't really care for it. Am I writing a letter to Laird and Eastman? Am I writing a letter to Paramount and now Nickelodeon and owns them? No. I just let it go. Those are not my Ninja Turtles.
You mean you're not declaring a rebellion?
No. Why would... Do you know how many rebellions I would declare by now? Because I just said, I'm very specific. In the 1990s Ninja Turtle movie, that means I rebelled against the original cartoon, because I don't really like that. I rebelled against the two movies that came after that. The second one, not so much. The third one is a piece of trash. I would have to rebel against that. Then there's the next mutation that came out, the live action one. You nerds remember that? When they had the fifth turtle, Venus de Milo, is on Netflix. It's terrible. Go ahead and watch it if you want. I have to rebel against that. Then after that, there's the Ninja Turtle cartoon that came out in the early 2000s, which is kind of around what I like, but it's not enough. I can't find it enough to watch it, but they still do weird stuff where Shredder is. And Umtan, which is basically those crane-looking thing, I have to revolt against that. Then there's the new cartoon that Nickelodeon had, which I liked at first, but it goes into weird stuff. I had to rebel against that. The Michael Bay movies, which I think if you like the first cartoon, if you can get past the design, you should like it. But again, I'm in a very small box. Rebel against that. There's a new cartoon, a brand new one. They just put the trailer out for yesterday. I don't like any of the things that are going forward, except the animation looks good. But I'd have to really rebel against that. I'm on like 12 rebellions right now that I have to start right now. Who got time for that? I don't have the strength for that. I just say, somebody else is going to enjoy this. This is going to be their introduction to Ninja Turtles. They can have it. I still have mine. If you don't like this stuff, you still got the original three, and you can make up everything in your head. Because that's basically what you're trying to do now. Do that. Be merry.
It's self-contradictory to say that you understand the franchise has to put away the past to move forward, and then go through a whole diatribe of grievances that are all about the way the past has been mishandled.
It's like you're saying, I want progress, but I only want progress up to this point. And then you're not realizing the progress you're wanting is like right past your nose. No further. Like, you're just looking down there on what your nose. But that, to you, that's progress. To everybody else, is like, what are you saying?
Indeed. And, you know, that's where we stand now.
Nerds.
So Chad, let's move on, because I they're crowdfunding a wanting to reshoot this movie.
So I've heard that they want to reshoot the movie.
$300 million, and they want to have a group meeting to discuss how they're going to write the script. They want to write the script with like 50 million people having input.
But okay, so are they getting the original stars to come back and redo all this? So they want to crowdfund a $300 million movie for a licensed property from one of the biggest corporations in the world. And they think that corporation is going to be like, yeah, y'all go ahead and do this. This is fan stuff. If they, even if they were to succeed and get the $300 million, which, ha! Even if they were to succeed, they think that the mouse on high is going to sit there and be like, y'all have fun, instead of come down and smack them in the head repeatedly and take that $300 million and then anything else they can get out of every one of y'all. Is this real? I mean, who are they? What are they thinking? This is not
the internet exists now, so everybody has a voice.
Just to put this in context, a couple years ago they made one of those fan Power Rangers trailers that were kind of official looking.
The one that cut off the Pink Ranger's head.
Yeah. Oh, and they had like real actors, and it was like a real deal Hollywood producer and all this stuff. And after Saban got a hold of it, he was like, no. And it's gone.
And it was. It was scrapped from the face of the earth, even though there were a certain segment of people who liked it, thought it looked really gritty and cool, because it decapitated the Pink Power Ranger's head, and some child's going to see that and cry.
So if Saban, the caretaker of Power Rangers, came and scrubbed that from the internet, most of y'all don't even know who Saban is when I say the name. So you're telling me that the mouse is going to let this happen?
George will have a lot of things to happen.
Yeah, George, yeah, but I think not a lot of things involve so much money. But when you're talking about like movie production money, even if George was like, yeah, let me go ahead and make it, his people be like, are you stupid? And then they would have been like, lawsuit, get them out. There's no world in which this could succeed. But these idiots are really trying it. And yes, I called you idiots. Fight me, bro.
Let's move on from the idiots. And let's move on to very curious decisions that are being made by Sony.
Oh, so we're going to go straight to my blood pressure really going through the roof. All right, okay, we can do that.
So, Chad, there's a Venom movie that's supposed to come out in October.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Black Cat Silver Sable movie that was supposed to come out in February, but it's on the back burner.
It is removed from the schedule, which to me means...
But it's being retooled and...
It ain't gonna happen.
Right. And then we now have a new spinoff movie.
See, right there. When you say we now have, that means in conjunction too, which means you've already talked about two productions, neither of which I'm excited for, and then you're now saying you're adding a conjunction that means there's more to come from this line of stuff that I don't like. So what could possibly be hooking up to the rest of these stinkers?
Morbius, the vampire, the living vampire, one of the characters who IGN put up on a flashcard for Tom Holland last July to ask professional wrestler character or Spider-Man villain.
What did he say?
He said Spider-Man villain.
Okay, he got it. Good job. Okay, so before There's more news with that. Before we get to that, I'll just fill in people on who Morbius is. So Morbius, his whole name is Michael Morbius. He's this Eastern European guy that went to college with Peter Parker. Everything I'm about to tell you is going to be an amalgamation of what I remember from the cartoon and what I know from the comics. And there's a reason for that. It's because I don't like this character. So, he's like a rival to Peter. He doesn't really like Peter. It's kind of like that whole Reed and Doom thing where he knows Peter's smart. He doesn't appreciate how smart he is, and he thinks that he might be smarter than him. So, he's a douchebag to Peter, that kind of thing. And so, because he's so arrogant about his smarts, he does some experiments on himself, and he turns himself into a vampire. Not like a Dracula bites you, gets turned into a vampire. He genetically makes himself into a vampire. Now, in the comics, once that happens, he's pretty much like a regular vampire. He sucks blood, he has fangs, all that stuff. In the cartoon, which I'm more familiar with, because it is a Saturday morning cartoon, there was no blood sucking from the fangs. So he had these suckers in his hand that he would suck blood from when he touched you, and would do some other weird stuff. So, say all that to say, I think Michael Morbius is stupid because he's a freaking vampire, and I don't care. The only thing that came productive that came from him was the cartoon brought in Blade, and that's how I know who Blade is, so I can appreciate Blade when he got his movie. That is it. That is the extent of good things about Michael Morbius. Now, you can tell me what else is going to happen with this dumpster fire that's never going to happen.
Do you know who's going to play Morbius?
I do. Tell them.
Jared Leto, Mr. Tattoo Damaged Joker himself.
So, you're going to take it. Okay, Jared Leto has pedigree because he has an Oscar and he's done good work and all these other
Dallas things. Dallas
Fires. But his, let's see, the last two pop culture movies he's done, the most recent was Blade Runner 2049. I haven't heard anything about him in there, so I'm assuming he's fine.
He's brilliant, yes.
Okay, good, that's good.
More in the kind of roles he needs to be.
But the role right before that, he was the tattooed, grilled up, damaged forehead Joker that isn't generally well-liked.
But he's getting his own spinoff movie.
Which I think ties into this. But, so, you got him. I would have to assume you got him basically because he's the Joker. And then he's looking for some other stuff. And I think he's looking for other stuff because, and we'll get, I'm not going to go too far into this because there's a DC thing on there as it is. DC is kind of playing fast and loose with stuff, particularly involving Batman and the Joker. And while they said that there's going to be, while it was leaked that Jared Leto was going to get his own Joker movie, I find that hard to believe. And I think what they're trying to see is, because as we'll talk about, the other Joker movie is probably coming first. And if he's more well-received, then they can get Joaquin Phoenix on board, which I don't think that's going to happen either. Then they'll kind of usher Jared Leto's Joker out. So I think this is his fallback, as in, I got my own series and I can go kind of nuts in this. Which, in theory, is fine. There are plenty of movies made about characters I don't like that are successful. I am not begrudging Morbius fans or that a Morbius movie could be good. However, a Morbius movie attached to Sony that's attached to the rest of these Spider-Man...
Which is attached to Avi Arad.
I knew you were going to bring him up. If anything attached to Spider-Man adjacent, meaning anything that's not Marvel Studios Spider-Man, I have no faith in, because they have shown that they can't do it. That outside of the first two Raimi movies, they have not done anything good. The fact that Silver and Black, which... when you had that package all together, female-led superhero movies, probably going to be at least one woman of color in that. You've got a director of color in that. I think there was a woman writer. All of those things surrounding that project, it is what studios make comic movies dream of. It's like, look, here it is, right here. This is the crystal ball. This is what we want. You have that, and then you tell me that you can't get it together, so you have to pull off the schedule altogether. It harkens back to what I always thought, that this movie was never going to happen because the studio doesn't know what they're doing with their Spider-Man properties. And
studio or Avi?
The studio's letting Avi do it, so the studio. They lose by proxy because they're the dummies that's fronting the money for this. So, what I think everything's going to hinge upon Venom, and Morbius also falls in line with the whole Venom thing.
Anti-hero
kind of monster thing. But I don't think Venom's going to be good. There's nothing about it that says it's going to be good to me. And if, once that movie's bad, I think all the rest of this is like, you might as well, it's like the line of gunpowder. Venom is the powder keg. Venom is the match. And the powder keg is at the end. It's Sony and it's Spider-Man and Jason. You're going to light that match. If it's good, throw it over here, fireworks go off. But what's going to happen is you're going to throw it on the gunpowder and it's going to blow up the whole goddamn house. That's where we're at. And that's where the Morbius movie is going to end up. It's going to end up on that pile that's blown up in the house. I think they're reaching for any character they can. I understand why they would go with Morbius. I understand why they would go with Jared Leto. But I think it says more about the Spider-Man and Jason brand and Jared Leto himself, particularly when it revolves on DC, more than anything good about what they plan on doing with this line. Because I think this line is much like the Dark Universe. After October, it is dead. It's done though.
Hope they haven't built offices.
No.
So here's the thing. I am glad that Feige has decided that in Spider-Man Far From Home, we will be getting Mysterio, because I know Mysterio will be well handled and done well. And played by Jake Gyllenhaal will be a fantastic role. They gave Avi the keys to the kingdom because they were like, we have 458 characters that aren't Spider-Man. You said yourself on the podcast, once there were only like 16 hero characters, if you want to call them, between Spider-Man clones and, you know, Mary Jane and that kind of a thing. So the vast majority of it is villains, and if you have that many characters, you should be mining those for content if you can't license them out. So you have to do something with them, so this is your idea. The problem is that you're taking things out of Marvel's toolbox.
The
biggest Black Cat, Silver Sables, both could be done at a high school level, even.
Well, like, the biggest problem is most of the Spider-Man, the characters that they have,
are tied to Spider-Man.
Exactly.
Morbius, like, it, you know, gets a blood disorder and tries to cure himself, and then turns into a...
I forgot about the
Yeah, story. And then turns into a vampire and has to suck people's blood in order to live, and that's very tragic and can be done in a very tragic way, like the Sandman in Spider-Man 3. But again, it's a necessary story for Peter Parker to be involved, and if you're not, if Feige will literally fight Amy Pascal and Tim Rothman to the death to protect Tom Holland from ever setting foot on the lot of a Venom movie or the lot of a Black Hat Silver Sable movie or a Morbius movie. Avi ain't touching Tom Holland.
Nope.
And if Avi ain't touching Tom Holland, his only other option is a completely digital Spider-Man who does not talk, which does no one any good.
No, because Morbius' fall has more to do with Peter Parker than Spider-Man. I think Morbius is one of the few characters that you can do outside of Spider-Man, because it's more about his fall from his ego, and you can replace, you can give him any rival that's not Peter. I think Silver Sable could have worked by itself because she's a mercenary and she does all these things. She's not explicitly tied to Peter. Black Cat, while you could do it, I wouldn't, because a lot of her relationships have to do with Peter. And Venom, the one out the gate, that is the one that's like, no, you cannot do this without Spider-Man. And we're about to watch what happens when you try to do this without Spider-Man. So they have all these characters that they can't bring in because they can't use Spider-Man. And they're not smart with using what they do have to make the adjacent universe. So they're just going to blow it all up. And Marvel's going to be sitting there, which I thought about it after I saw the logo for Spider-Man Far From Home, and that they put the Spider-Man symbol on the home again. I'm like, they kept home in both the titles. They're really just rubbing it in Sony's faces that, hey, Spider-Man was where he needs to be.
And it's being well-received.
Well-received, and y'all can't do nothing about it. So this whole thing, when Venom comes out, I have no faith in Venom. I know it's my own bad thinking, and maybe it could come out to be good, but if it comes out like I think it is, Sony's whole Spider-Man and Jason thing just goes up in smoke. And at that point, they're just like, I don't know what leverage they thought they had to negotiate with Marvel before, but after that, it's like, it's either Marvel's gonna be like, look, either you sell him to us, or we're gonna renegotiate how this revenue stream is gonna work, because we're gonna keep this lease, because clearly you can't make money off of these things, and we can't. So you're gonna take whatever we give you, because you're too stupid to just sit back and make a bigger cut of pie instead of proving that you're incompetent making movies of Spider-Man.
Avi couldn't have just gone away. I mean, not like Mr. Kurtzman, who gets promoted every single week to new jobs and gets $25 million extensions to come in and create a Star Trek spinoff television universe when he's very clearly one of the most incoherent and stupefying people to ever work on Star Trek and nearly got fired, did get fired from Star Trek 3, if I'm not mistaken.
That dude's got a lucky horseshoe, grafted out of gold, found at the end of a rainbow, with a gold-plated four-leaf clover grafted onto it, shoved straight up his ass. That's the only way. Like, I mean, I tried to defend him at some point, but I mean, he's been striking out, and then
moving on up.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know how you keep falling forward that much without falling on your face, but Alex Kurtzman should give lessons.
And he can give lessons to Avi Arad, who continues to whine and cry and pitch fits until he gets his hands on the toys he wants most.
I think Avi's too stubborn, and that shit has sailed. I don't, like, Kurtzman probably could give him some lessons, but Avi's like, I'm old man, I know what I do. Look, I made Spider-Man the first one, and I make these toys. So, blank off, kid, I still make money. I would just, whatever. Venom's gonna blow up, and it's gonna blow up that whole little pocket universe, and then Tony's gonna be sitting there like, yeah, selling. Because they ain't gonna give us much when they're on the back end. Nope, sure ain't.
Well, I look forward to that deal, especially if the Fox deal gets approved here in the next couple of weeks. And then if that gets approved, because they went over and above $84 billion for the Fox assets. It's over and above the $75 million that Comcast could afford.
So
$72 million.
I'm not great on stocks and money management and stuff like that, but to me it seems like so Comcast is offering this
straight up cash deal.
Sony's offering cash.
No, Disney's offering cash and stocks.
Cash and stocks, and to take on some of Fox's debt.
Right.
So with the stock, you know, stocks don't stay the same; they can rise and fall. More than likely, you're going to get more money in the long run with Disney, whereas the short run with Comcast. So I know when you look at it head up, the numbers don't look the same, but they're taking on debt. They give you cash, which can go up in stocks, which can go up in value, and cash. These dudes are just giving you cash. I'm going to take the Disney deal. But again, I'm not a money guy.
We will see what happens. Both boards vote the week before Comic-Con. So.
Oh, that'll be fun.
All right, so let's move on. So, Chad, Kevin Feige, once again, is not signed up for Question Time with our podcast, refusing to employ me as the author of the book on the MCU and ending all of my financial worries for the rest of my life. He also refuses to comment on Stark babies, which again is a very controversial issue in today's time.
To you only?
But he did confirm, or he had Tom Holland confirm, the title for the new Spider-Man movie, which starts shooting in 2 weeks. Also confirmed that Captain Marvel has 2 more weeks of filming. Will not get another a trailer probably till October. Confirmation that they won't start marketing Avengers 4 till they start marketing Captain Marvel, which makes sense. Captain Marvel comes before Avengers 4. Our best guess now, I assume, would be a November football game or a October or November football game, or maybe even a national championship game if you want to go all the way to January without putting anything out. So we got the title for Spider-Man Homecoming 2, which is now going to be called Far From Home. Your thoughts on the title of Far From Home and Tom Holland being used as a pawn by Kevin Feige?
I don't think he was a pawn in this one. I think he knew exactly what was going on. I do like that they kind of set him up. Like, the reveal was set up as, oh, look, Tom is leaking something else he had no business leaking when...
That's not a script. That's a title
treatment. Yeah, to hammer that home, James Gunn tweeted out a picture of his finished script for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. He took a picture of the front page, and all it is a typed page that says Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 by James Gunn. The Spider-Man script that Tom Holland had on his iPad was a black screen with the Spider-Man logo and Far From Home and the stylized Spider-Man font written underneath it, and that's all it was to it. And he held it up so the camera could see it. Now, he did it casually where it wasn't like an awkward, like, stop so y'all can read it. No, you have to go back and stop and look at it. But it was all a setup, because what happens right after that? It's Ant-Man press corps time. And what is Kevin Feige asked about? The Spider-Man title. And what the normally, when Kevin Feige doesn't want to say anything, he's real cagey. He's like, nothing's official, blah, blah, blah. He's like, well, yeah, we want to do this with this title and all this stuff. So it's like, so y'all set up this little trap. Played on the fact that people think Tom is a snitch and rolled out the title that way. Y'all are always clever, Marvel. Y'all are always clever. So,
Will Downey at some point tweet beggings to the Disney Twitter account to release the title of Avengers 4?
No.
I mean, he did tweet to get the release date moved up.
He did. This whole title and marketing of not just Avengers 4, but of Captain Marvel and what's going to come right after that, which is Far From Home, how that whole marketing is going to work is like really interesting.
That's three movies within, I think, 14 weeks of each other. Because she's the first week of March, uh-huh. They're the first week of May, and this is the first week of July.
Yeah.
So it's like 16, 18 weeks.
Yeah, I think
three
probably
movies.
Like 18 weeks, yeah. So that means you have to promote them on top of each other. From a story standpoint, the dilemma is with Spider-Man because of the way Infinity War ended. However, we all know that Spider-Man's coming back, blah, blah, blah. It's just how are you going to market that when people still haven't seen, like, you're going to have to put out a trailer for that before people see Avengers 4. With the Avengers 4 title, I think we get the title before we get a trailer, but it's just a matter of when, and if they're going to drop something for Captain Marvel in October, that means you want to let that breathe before you drop the Avengers name. But then as I say that, it's like, well, that means it's probably going to be in November, maybe December with Mary Poppins. But if it's that late, then you're probably going to get a trailer when you get the name. But I would think you get the name first. So how the hell are they going to manage all these different things? So I'm like really excited to see, more than the movies right now, I'm excited to see how they're going to play all this out.
Did you not know they hired the guy who did the Deadpool marketing campaign?
I did know that. Guys, you've been doing great work with all this Deadpool stuff. Now, we got to market.
We have a riddle for you.
We're not going to be talking to Smalling. We're going to give you Avengers 4. But here's the thing. We can't tell nobody what the title is. Okay? So when are we going to tell them? I don't know. Because, see, we got this other movie that comes out before. But we can't tell them what the title is for this until we get this one out the way. And that one comes out like 2 months before the other one. So wait, hold on. So I can't start marketing my movie until this other movie comes out. And I can't even tell them what the name is until that happens. So when are we getting some of that? October. So like, wait, my movie comes out in May, so I need to start marketing for that like in, October. Well, you can't do that. So, okay. I can do this in November. But we got this other movie that comes out like right after that. We got to start gearing up for that one too. Because let's not forget, Sony has a Spider-Man movie that comes out in December. They're going to probably want something with Spider-Man Far From Home on that movie.
Into the Spider-Verse.
So you're telling me I can't touch my movie until this first movie comes out. Something for this first movie comes out, which is probably October. And then there's another movie on the back end of me that's probably going to come out in December that has to have something. And I'm supposed to do something in November and just hope that this happens? Well, you're the Deadpool guy. There you go. Get it running. So good luck, guy. I don't know what to tell you. I have no idea. You killed it on Deadpool. Good luck, son.
That's what happens when you stack your releases and you try to hide a title.
Yeah. They really could just drop the title after Ant-Man and Wasp be done with it.
That's what we all thought they were going to do, but nope.
I mean, that, but that just tells me they have a plan. I mean, not everything in their plans work out well, but I mean, they're batting
in Marvel,
800.
In Marvel, we trust.
Yeah.
So, Chad, they do have, as you mentioned, the Ant-Man and the Wasp that is coming out next week. Your thoughts on the early, it's a good movie to have on while you're cooking dinner reaction.
I mean, that's what I expected. I expected everybody to come out saying, it's a fun movie, and have some, the range of emotion go from, it's great, to, it's a good movie, I might forget it, I'll watch it if it comes on TV. I figured that would be the kind of range. And
so that's your basement for most Marvel movies.
Yeah, I mean, Ant-Man is like
in the basement of box office.
Of modern Marvel movies, outside of Phase 1, Ant-Man's the basement. And I think it's largely going to depend on how you felt about the first Ant-Man. I really liked the first Ant-Man, so everything that I've heard people say leads me to believe that I'm going to really like this one. People that didn't like Ant-Man so much, but they were like, oh, it's okay. They walked out of this one like, oh, it's okay. So I think the reactions are going to mirror each other. If you really like the first Ant-Man, you're going to really like this one. If you were like, eh, on Ant-Man, you'll feel like, eh, on this one. But most people are generally going to like it. However,
that post-credit scene, though, is like an actual ending to the movie. You probably need to actually stay through the end.
Yeah. I've heard the first one is more important than the second one, but you should stay for both. But there are two. I don't know what they are. I don't want to know what they are. But being that this movie is coming out after Infinity War,
takes place more in line with Civil War than Infinity War.
I think
somebody got to turn to ash.
Well, I think the ending is going to be somebody turning to ash. I don't know. Well, I know it's not going to be Scott. I would hope that it's not Hope as well, but I have no idea. I would vote for
the furor that would come from.
Yeah. Exactly.
From giving her about damn time moment to
and then,
taking her away.
Yeah.
The way they did with T'Challa.
But I know she's in the fourth one. So, you know, even if she turns to dust, she'll be back. But I would think that it's going to be the old people that dust away. That could be impactful that, you know, you get the mom back and then it's like, oh, poof, bye. But, what I was going to say about the box office is going to be something I want to see. Because this is not a billion dollar movie.
It's about an 80, the last tracking I saw said 75 million, which would be an improvement over the first movie, but not an overwhelming amount for the MCU.
I think it'll get over 75, particularly with the good word of mouth. I think it'll have a big opening weekend and like decent legs. I think if this gets over, 750, it's a win. Really, over 7 is, over 650 is a win. Over 7 is like
gravy.
Ecstatic. Yeah, this.
Well, let's talk about a studio that does not have gravy right now. Matter of fact, they do not even have a half of a turkey leg to say grace over. That would be the DCEU. There's been some news this week. We've heard that Mr. Reeves has turned in his first draft over Memorial Day weekend that centers on a young Batman. We've heard about Jared Leto, the non-Jared Leto, Joaquin Phoenix, Todd Phillips Joker movie to film in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten a new picture of Cheetah from Wonder Woman 1984. And then we've got all kinds of rumors about how DC plans to rock the boat when, you know, they're the only game in town. Because even TV studios are pulling out. HBO is not going to Comic-Con this year. HBO's not going, Marvel's not going, Star Wars is not going, Pixar's not going, Sony's not going. I mean,
so this is what everybody thought when studios stopped going a couple years ago, but, you know, Marvel will still go. Now, this might be the beginning of the end of big studios at Comic-Con.
Well, we've talked about this. Marvel has their own outlet in D23.
Yeah.
So.
But D23 isn't this year?
No, it's next year.
The next year.
You have D23. They took the year off when they did Avengers. I thought I remembered Whedon coming out and dropping the mic and saying Age of Ultron and walking away. But I thought they announced their Phase 2 slate like the July after Avengers. But Feige said they took 2012 off and they came back in 2013. So they're going to do the same thing this time. And Star Wars already also has Celebration in Chicago, which will be apparently the site of a massive protest, the likes of which that city hasn't seen since 1968, with fans overthrowing their leaders.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's going to be fun.
So, your thoughts on, you know, all this DC news?
I'll start with the stuff that makes my blood boil the least. The Wonder Woman photo that was actually released today, right while I was typing that. It's not much. It is just Kristen Wiig as Barbara Nerva.
And a confirmation of which Cheetah we were getting.
Yeah, I think everybody already assumed it was going to be Minerva, but this is Patty confirming that it's Minerva. The bigger thing for me with this is that it's the way they're like doing this little marketing pitch right now with having Patty and Gal and the people involved like tweeting out pictures and stuff. Because this is
Patty doing the Steve Trevor reveal. Patty doing this reveal.
I mean, this is the movie.
Gal putting out her first official image in the costume.
Yeah, this is the movie that has the most faith because it's been the best received of all the DC movies. So they're reinforcing that faith by having the people that we have faith in putting out things, particularly with the Steve thing that people might be uneasy with, as like, why is he back? Well, Patty's tweeting this out, so they have a plan. She has a plan. She did good with the first one. I trust her for this one. Let her put this out. This is just to give us a little taste of what Cheetah we're getting, and I don't think we'll find out what Cheetah looks like at Comic-Con, since they're doing this stuff now.
I'm anticipating a full-blown Wonder Woman panel at Comic-Con. Because it's Warner Brothers, if they'll do what they've done in the past, they'll just include in the massive Warner Brothers panel, which is like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I think they'll probably, I don't know if they'll actually be ballsy enough to once again roll out a whole slate, but, you know, chances are, from every indication, is they're reevaluating everything. So, yeah, I can see a Wonder Woman panel.
See, I don't think they're going to do the whole panel just because of when Wonder Woman 1984 comes out. We got a whole nother Comic-Con for that.
Do we?
Yeah, it doesn't
come out. June. It's a June release.
No, it's a November release.
Ah, that's right.
So we got a whole nother Comic-Con. So I would, if it were me, I would keep it minimalist, like maybe send Gal or Patty, or Gal and Patty. At most, Gal, Patty, Chris. But I'm not bringing everybody over.
Right.
And just be like,
here's some footage.
Yeah, here's what we started, and it'll end with what
James Gunn did with the Guardians, the lineup scene.
Yeah, but that was more to introduce everybody. Right. This is just to be like, we have the characters back. This is Steve. Look, we have Wonder Woman back. She looks great in her new stuff. Steve is back. We don't know why, but he's back. And then I think it'll end with a tease or a full-blown look at what Cheetah looks like. And to go with all that, it seems to be that they're doing a lot of shots outside DC. So this is being proactive. And if you leak out the images first,
something Shazam could have learned from.
Exactly. Which was funny with Shazam, because before those images came out, the director was like, I'm surprised nobody's leaked out images. We've been shooting outside. It was like, it's basically, he was like, I dare you. And they're like, we got you. So I'm Wonder Woman, it's fine. I'm completely good with that. Now, the other stuff that's going to be at Comic-Con, Shazam will be there because it's coming out in April, and Aquaman will be there because it's coming out in December.
And Juan's already guaranteed a trailer.
We'll get a trailer for that, and I think they said we're going to get at least a teaser for Shazam at Comic-Con. So if we're going to get panels, and probably out of those two, more than likely Aquaman, and probably something bigger, but maybe not a full panel for Shazam.
Momoa got on a plane from Australia to come last year.
Yeah. So I think it'll be good to see that stuff, and everything, the stuff that's coming out, it seems like they like what James Wan is doing, which is encouraging. But yeah, I think that's what we get from Comic-Con. I don't think we get any other really big announcements, because I think they've learned their lesson, because from all of the moves they've done, it seems like they've consolidated all their creative power in Walter Hamada. And while I know people don't think of Walter, like when you say figurehead for a comic book studio, they think of Kevin Feige, a guy that produced comic book movies and is a fan, and got to sit at the head of the table. Hamada is not that. But he's still equating, he's still occupying that same space. And it's the first time he can say, it's this guy that's occupying that space for DC. So I think they learned their lessons about, like, announcing movies, that, like, giving out this whole big spread when 90% of them don't happen. So if there is any other announcement, any other movie announcement, I think it's going to, if they do it, that means that movie is, like, is already in pre-production and they're going to start filming this sucker, like, within the next year. Now, my hope for that, if that happens, is that it's a goddamn Superman movie and I can be happy. That is my hope, but I don't expect that to happen because I really hope they've learned their lesson about announcing movies. Now, the rest of this crap with them all revolves around, surprise, surprise, the goddamn Batman in some form or fashion. That Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix, it really sounds like that crap is going to happen. It really sounds like they're about to start shooting this thing. And the idea of a separate Joker movie and a second imprint with these people involved is enticing to me, except you haven't established your first imprint to make a second imprint, and that worries the crap out of me. And then you add in the rumors that they're playing it fast and loose with Matt Reeves' Batman. It sounds like they don't want to abandon the shared universe. However, they want to do a soft reboot of the shared universe with all the people that they already have involved. But with his Batman, they're trying to see, basically trying to see the reception to the movies that come before it, namely Aquaman. If Aquaman is a hit, they will feel comfortable incorporating this Batman into the established DCE universe. And since it's going to be a younger Batman, they can go ahead and say this happened before, all this other stuff. And if that's the case, but then what that is, it also ties into this Joker thing. If people are more receptive to this Joker, then they'll tie him in instead of the Jared Leto Joker. So Batman is just a whole big toss-up of what the hell are we going to do? Which is concerning just because of the nature of how DC has been. If this was any other studio and we heard these things, we'd be like, oh, we'll give them a break. But DC has done so many stupid things the whole time. When you hear this stuff, it doesn't instill faith. And it goes back to the fact that if this is what they're doing and they know it doesn't instill faith, they need to lock up whoever's doing the leak so we don't hear this. Because they can do this. They can do this all behind the scenes and don't tell us anything until they're ready to tell us. And then everybody, but then that's the only plan. And people were like, I might not like it, I might like it, but it's clear this is where they're going. Right now it's like they still don't know what they're doing, and that has been the biggest detriment to DC so far. That also continues on with the guy that's going to be Batman, because again, we're doing the will Ben or won't Ben dance, which I'm just tired of. I think he's done. Everybody thinks he's done. Just be done with it, and we can all move on. And yeah. But that is DC in a goddamn nutshell. They appear like they don't know what they're doing. On the outside, it appears like they don't know what they're doing. Hopefully, they are consolidating their power and their creative direction behind one person. They just need to plug up all the leaks, which they have yet to do, and that is still a problem.
Sounds like it should be an Comic-Con will be an interesting moment for them to promote what they currently have and not look forward.
Like, the way it sounds like that nobody else is coming, it seems like Hall H is theirs. So, this could be a blessing and a curse. It could be, you know, it's just them. So, whatever they do is going to be the biggest splash at Comic-Con. However, if they fall on their face again, it's like, they can't even get it right when they're the only person in the race, and they still lose. So, it could be a good thing if they pull it off right. And the question is, can they pull it off?
Indeed. So, Chad, if you clone dinosaurs, you can train them to follow lasers and attack on command and kill people.
That's a stupid movie, isn't it?
And if you really want to be sad, want to watch a Brachiosaurus slowly be consumed by the flame and fire of a volcano, although that's not actually how a volcano works, as the last ship to leave the island floats away and the door closes. If you want to have discussions about, you know, the ethics of cloning, apparently John Hammond's business partner figured out how to clone and didn't tell anybody, which is interesting because the technology they were using for the dinosaurs was using amphibian DNA. So how you plug those gaps with human DNA is really interesting. If you want to start with the biggest criticism from a previous movie being the first shot of the next movie, that's really cool. Footwear is a very important thing. And releasing dinosaurs out into the wild, letting them fly around Las Vegas is a really cool image. I've just saved you $10.95.
I am so glad my daughter didn't remember this movie came out, so I didn't have to go see it. Let's hope that holds up until I need that to hold up for another week, because then she's spending a week with her grandmother. She remembered then. I ain't got to see it. I heard that Jurassic World is kind of...
Colin Trevorrow is the greatest con artist of all time. Because this man created a movie in Safety Not Guaranteed that is bloody brilliant, and it's Back to the Future for the 21st century. And nothing. Literally nothing. Like, him and Kurtzman need to go sit together at a bar somewhere and trade stories about how they keep getting better jobs. Kathleen Kennedy, again, threw off her oppressor and, you know, continued to oppress people by firing Colin Trevorrow and keeping them from seeing Colin's version of the Star Wars movie, damn it. Well, guess what? You're getting Colin unfiltered through the Jurassic World franchise, and that ain't exactly great. So we got the Indominus Rex, we got the Indoraptor, so what's the next Indo thing we're going to hit from Dr. Wong?
Is he still alive?
He's still alive. He makes it out with all the material to continue making dinosaurs.
Again?
Which at no point does anybody ever ask in the Senate hearings or in the little dinosaur conservation group or anything. No one freaking asks, hey, they're genetically engineered. We know the guy who has the materials. We can always subpoena him for the materials and keep them in the government lab safe away from people. And if we want a creator more, we could. No one ever asked. They just assumed that if this batch of dinosaurs on the original island dies, which, by the way, no one ever knew there was a volcano there in the first place, if they die, you can just make more. No one asked.
Wait, so they built an active theme park on the island with a volcano?
Hammond's idea. Hammond clearly had issues. Like, he had a business partner who was into cloning his dead child. Again, spoilers completely for this movie, but it's been out a week. And if you haven't gone to see it now, you're probably not going to go see it because you've got 500 other things coming this summer. But that's... The Indoraptor and the idiot hunter who's ripped straight out of Lost World, who collects trophies of teeth of dinosaurs and pulls out and goes into the cage of the smartest dinosaur ever created, and when the dinosaur fakes dead, plays dead, or plays tranquilized, gets his face bitten off. Because he got into the cage. He went into the cage to get the teeth.
Dummy. Yeah, this is stupid.
These are the kinds of stupid decisions these characters make. And for all of its flaws, it's probably my second favorite Jurassic Park movie. Just simply because Boyega's directing is worlds better than Collins, and better than the halfway effort Spielberg gave, and better than anything Joe Johnston was doing on Jurassic Park 3.
Okay.
But
I like Joe.
But, like, they're gonna make a third one. They announced a third one two months before this came out.
That's right, they did.
And they've created a situation in which dinosaurs and man must now have to coexist together. You know how that plays out? It plays out with us being eaten. It plays out with, you know, Planet of the Apes. Now, to his credit, there's only 20 species, and there's supposedly all male, but we know how well that worked the first time. So, you know, they could potentially evolve and change. I think they laid down new rules about that in World, but, I mean, I don't think these guys care about their own rules.
Okay, I'm not going to see this movie.
You should not see this movie. I advise anybody out there not to see this movie, unless it's on DVD. If you want to watch a good Colin movie, go watch Safety Not Guaranteed.
I like that one.
And that's it. The Book of Henry is a piece of crap. Jurassic World is a piece of crap. And somehow, some way, he got Steven Spielberg drunk and got his birthright from him. So, either that or he traded away his birthright for a bowl of soup or something. Like, seriously, Steven. Like, you have not made a decision this bad since you decided to let George make his Indiana Jones and the Martians. Like, this is not great.
I mean, was the first Transformers before or after that?
2007, so 2005 was the first, was Crystal Skull. From 2007 was the first Transformers.
Okay, so him picking Michael Bay, I don't think that's a very good decision either, but you know.
To each their own. So, that'll about do it for this week's podcast. If you want to follow us on Twitter, I'm at BCWTigerFan.
At the Mitch Theory.
So, here's the thing. Jim's going to be on the week of Comic-Con. We will have Jim from IGN on the week of Comic-Con to discuss, as he before he gets on a train, you know, what's going to happen at that convention where no one else is going to be. And we're going to talk to him about his play, which just got extended and got nominated for some very lovely awards. So if you're in the Los Angeles area, feel free to go out and check out Jim's play. It's doing really well. And we will be back with more weird, wild, and wacky weeks of genre movie news as we move forward closer and closer to Comic-Con. Thank you very much, and have a good evening.